Our scripture today comes from Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to me, "Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley.
Last week I mentioned to you that we're going to do Hosea today. How many read Hosea over the week? How many could find Hosea? Well, if you want to have your finger in the Bible for Hosea, it is page 835. How many have ever heard a sermon from the book of Hosea? Okay. Good, we do have a few. I would have to say I've never heard a sermon from the book of Hosea. And what's interesting, of course, I've been wanting to do a series on the minor prophets, and I did do a few last year. And I had written up Hosea, actually last year at this time, but we got into some other sermon series. So this one's been cooking for at least a year. And at the time I wrote it up, it was 12 pages in length. You don't really want 12 pages of a sermon. Yeah. I heard someone say, right. So I had to cut it back a little bit, actually about half. But Hosea is a really different type of book. Of course, he's a minor prophet. And if you've ever wondered what's the difference between a major and a minor prophet, the major prophet is just a longer scroll that was used for them to write. It was a longer section of scripture. The minor prophets are shorter. In fact, they could get all the minor prophets, I believe, is on one scroll. Whereas with the major prophets, they had a scroll for each of them. So that's the only difference. It wasn't that the minor prophet was something you really didn't have to think about because they were just minor versus the major prophets. It was just the length. And you'll notice, too, with your bulletin, you have a sheet of paper that has blanks in it. It wasn't that I forgot to put the words in there, but Cheryl's been doing for a couple of weeks of doing that, so as you go through the sermon, you can fill it in. And I thought, well, that's kind of a neat idea. I'll try to do that, too. So I have that. Conclusions from Hosea. Now, here's a key to this. For the first half of the sermon, don't worry about it, because the blanks come in the last half. And I'll let you know when the blanks are coming. The first half is kind of an introduction to Hosea. Well, love is the theme spilling from the tip of many poets' pens. Songwriters and musicians make glorious music soar on the wings of love. In fact, I think that's even a title of the song, On the Wings of Love. Love has been and still is one of the major subjects of great literature. It's the theme of hundreds of great novels as well as short stories. The so-called dime store novels or romance novels sell by the millions, and they have them all set out in the pharmacies, right by the need for ache and pain medication. How many movies can you remember that has love between two people as the central theme? Go back, for those who can, back in the 1970s, and one of the titles of a movie was called Love Story. Everyone loves a love story, and especially if that love story has a happy Hallmark ending. I want to try to illustrate what I consider to be one of the greatest love stories outside of God's love for each one of us through having Jesus Christ come to earth. My example is based upon an actual historical fact. The love story between Hosea and Gomer. Now, how many of you women would like to be called Gomer? Kind of remember, it reminds you of an old TV show back in the 60s, Gomer Pyle, USMC. Golly! No, I doubt if too many women would want to be called Gomer. Well, this wonderful love story begins in the first chapter of the book of Hosea. We read from Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. So if you want to look at that as we read it through. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." Wow, that's an interesting beginning of a book of the Bible. Tells the preacher to take an adulterous wife and the unfaithful children. So he marries Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. In fact, had two more children too. Three children with a woman who didn't stick around. Gomer left Hosea. And apparently Gomer was on her own for quite a while. Needing to support herself, she either sold herself into slavery or she became the mistress of another man. In either case, the only way Hosea could get back Gomer was to pay money for her. Although the required amount was pitifully small. Gomer was no longer worth much to anyone except to Hosea. But he loved her just as God loved the unfaithful Israelites. And no matter how low we sink, God is willing to buy us back, to redeem us, and to lift us up again. This wonderful love story begins in the verses we've just read, but it takes an incredible turn in chapter 3. Check this out. Here are the unbelievable words the Lord spoke to the prophet in Hosea chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 5. Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, although they have turned to other gods. Just like Gomer, after Hosea buys her back, the Israelites would return and seek the Lord their God. They came back trembling to the Lord and would receive his blessings. When Hosea began his ministry, the nation of Israel, which was the northern kingdom, Judah was the southern kingdom, was heading full speed towards judgment at the hands of the fierce and fearsome Assyrians. Thousands would be slaughtered. Thousands more would be deported into captivity and slavery. Judgment was certain. Hosea had the task of warning the people of God's impending judgment, but not before God had an opportunity of pouring out his love towards them in effort to turn their hearts back to him. Reading the book of Hosea, one is made aware of the many prophecies of coming judgment. Despite the dire nature of the predicted judgment upon Israel, Hosea gives us one of the most beautiful pictures of God's unconditional love. He not only tells Israel that God is holy, he reminds them that God is love. Sin not only breaks the law of God, it also breaks the heart of God. The story of Hosea's marriage to Gomer is intended to reflect a demonstration of God's unconditional love. It was a living drama of one man's love for a woman who is totally unworthy of her husband's love. This was God's illustrated sermon on how much he cared for and loved an unfaithful Israel. The love story of Hosea ends with a resounding promise from God in Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. I will heal their waywardness. Chapter 14, verse 4. And love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them, meaning away from Israel. Okay, now get your pencils ready. What conclusions can we come away with from God's love story in the book of Hosea? Now, what God asked Hosea to do did not make sense. That's the point. God's love to Israel didn't make sense either. A big question hangs in the air. Why would God commit himself to a group of people he knew would not be faithful to him? Would you choose a mate who, going into that relationship, you know will not be faithful to you? Hosea already knew it. Who will betray your love? Who will leave you for others? Would you choose a mate that you know will not be thankful for what you do and give the love and support that you show? Okay, it's coming. According to our way of thinking, God's love doesn't make sense. The blank there is sense. But I'm so glad that God is willing to take a chance. Next blank, chance. On each one of us. And is willing to forgive us and to love us. Forgive and love. Second, God's love doesn't have disclaimers hidden in fine print. A word we most often hear bandied about when we talk about the subject of God's love is, next line, God's love for us is an unconditional love. Unconditional. Meaning it is unqualified. Absolute. Without limitations or conditions unlike the love we often show. So unconditional, unqualified, and limitations. However, God's love is not without demands for responsibility and even limits. We all have heard of the concept called tough love. And I know I read a book by that title many years ago by James Dobson, Tough Love. Sometimes love has to be tough and demanding of responsibility. Otherwise, it is not genuine love. Tough love, as God's love is, demands accountability. Unconditional love does not mean, for example, that a person must remain in an abusive relationship. It does not mean that a parent, for example, has to indulge a rebellious teenager. Tough love, next line here, tough love makes an offending person face the possibility of accepting the consequences. So the blank there is consequences of their actions. Does not intervene to block. Block is the next blank. Their choices that would avert adverse consequences. It says, I cannot and I will not condone your actions, and when you're ready and willing to begin a relationship based upon mutual respect and love, the door is open for a relationship between us. When you read the entire story of Hosea's relationship with Gomer and its application to the nation of Israel, you pick up on this theme of tough love. God was responding to Israel's sin and disobedience by dealing with them with toughness and compassion. The object of tough love is to reduce resources leading to one disappointment after another until the person says, I need to go back and I need to begin again. It was better for me then than it is now. And Israel, the people of Israel, found that to be true, which is best stated in Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. Ouch! Block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. And then she will say, kind of gives up at this point, I will go back to my husband, meaning going back to God. And that's what we find with Israel so often. They're here with God, and then they trail off, and they go with the balls. Then they go up again, because they know that they have gone away. They have strayed, and they go back to God. But it's kind of like a roller coaster. Finally, what is the ultimate purpose for God's unconditional love? God's nature and character is first and foremost Redeemer and Deliverer. He's our Redeemer and Deliverer. In order for us to fully understand God's purpose in dealing with Israel through the dramatic actions of Hosea, we need to only read the final chapter of the story. It is found in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And here's the next line. We hear God's plaintive call. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. So the blanks that we had there was God's sins, return, all, and sins. This is amazing. Not only does the Lord give the invitation to come to him, which he does, he leads them even in the sinner's prayer. This is followed by the promise of forgiveness and great blessing. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4 says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. The blessings of heaven await all that will turn to the Lord. We must remember when our will is weak, when our thinking is confused, and when our conscience is burdened with a load of guilt. We must remember, and this is the next line, we must remember that God cares for us continually. His compassion never fails. I want you to keep that line in mind. His compassion never fails, because we're going to say it together here. When friends and family desert us, when co-workers don't understand us or don't want to, and when we are tired of being good, yet nothing good comes our way. What is the line? God's compassion never fails. Let's say that again. God's compassion never fails. When we can't see the way or seem to hear God's voice, and when we lack courage to go on, God's compassion never fails. Let's say that again. God's compassion never fails. When our shortcomings and our awareness of our sins overcome us, God's compassion never fails. God's concern for justice that requires faithfulness and love that offers forgiveness can be seen in his dealings with Hosea. Here's the last line. Forgiveness is a key word. I should have left forgiveness as blank, because that really is the key word. But when God forgives us, he judges the sin, which is the blank, but shows mercy to the sinner. Sin and mercy. We should never be afraid to come to God for a clean slate and a renewed life. And once again, we're going to say, God's compassion never fails. Amen.